A man in his 60s, Richard Seeger, balding with grey hair around the sides of his head, takes objects off a shelf and puts them in a clear plastic sack. There are several books and notebooks. He puts toothpaste into a wash bag and finally picks up a crucifix, studies it, then puts it in with the other stuff. Kevin Waitley. In a chapel, a woman in a dog collar, Reverend Martha, conducts a choir. She's around 50. Lawrence Fox. A girl in her late teens, Rachel, who's pretty with long curly brown hair, goes into a bedroom in the house. The bedroom's a nursery with a doll's house and kids' toys. The walls are painted pink and there are a child's drawings on the walls. Rachel sits down on the small bed. She wears a serious expression. She turns to the bedside table and picks up a framed photo of her and a younger girl. She studies the photo, then puts it in her bag. Lewis, this episode, Intelligent Design. In a secondary school science lab,
who can remember what we learnt last lesson about chain reactions?
The teacher nods at a girl.
It's like dominoes, sir.
That's right. It's like dominoes. When just one molecule is activated, it can cause a reaction, which in turn releases more unstable molecules.
He draws on a whiteboard.
They then trigger further reactions, and so the chain gathers momentum. See how it's branching and growing as it feeds itself.
A boy in his late teens, Adam, is cycling through a park listening to a revision tape through headphones.
L is the magnetic quantum number. L tells you where the orbitals are along the X or Y.
Richard sits in a jail cell. A prison officer looks through the hatch, then opens the door for him. Richard comes out carrying the clear plastic sack of his possessions. Inspired by the Inspector Morse novels of Colin Dexter. A woman in her 30s, Stella, sits alone in a state-of-the-art laboratory. She wears a white coat and has her long hair tied back. Using a pipette, she sucks up liquid from a bottle. Screenplay by Helen Jenkins, based on a story by Stephen Churchip. A van drives out of the prison gates. There's a line of people waiting at the gates. A prison guard lets Richard out. He's changed his clothes. Before, he wore jeans and a white t-shirt. Now he's wearing cord trousers, a shirt and a blazer. He carries the clear plastic sack. He looks across the car park and spots Martha, now out of her dog collar. She gazes across the car park at him with trepidation. He strides towards her, stops in front of her, and they hug. She clings onto him.
Home?
She steps back, brimming with emotion.
Home.
The science teacher, Carl, in the school lab.
Today we're going to take a look at the first chain reaction ever discovered. Hydrogen and chlorine. All you need to trigger this is UV light, which you get by burning magnesium. But once the chain is in motion, it's unstoppable.
Adam looks into the lab through a glass panel in the door. Carl lights a strip of magnesium ribbon and holds it under a test tube. The rubber stopper flies out. D.I. Lewis is shopping in a department store. He holds a cushion and picks up a soap dispenser. D.S. James Hathaway, who's holding a microwave, spots him.
Chrome every time, sir.
James, the flat's looking a bit tired.
This is what you're doing with your day off, sprucing out the bachelor pad.
I'm not sprucing.
Marine dream blue, nice.
Look, haven't you got somewhere else to be? I don't remember you booking the day off.
Community partnership seminar, 3 p.m.
Enjoy.
Lewis smiles and Hathaway heads off. Lewis picks up the chrome soap dispenser. A little hatchback drives over a quaint bridge over a river with boats in it. Richard and Martha get out of the now parked car. Grave-faced, Richard goes over to the garage where there's a vintage Jaguar Mark II. The visible headlight is cracked and it's dusty and generally looks the worse for wear. Martha walks up behind him.
I wasn't sure what you'd want to do. The garage said they could fix
it. Just get rid of it.
Richard marches off. At the school lab...
The interview isn't that bad as long as you know your chemistry. Make sure you do some mock interviews with Mr. Drew if you do decide to apply. They basically ask me all the same stuff.
Glad to be of service. Anyone else?
A girl puts her hand up.
Is it loads more work than A-level?
Well, it's a big step up, obviously. But it's all right. Most of the time.
Good. Well, I think we should give Adam a round of applause to say thank you for coming back to talk to us.
Adam glances around uncomfortably. Lewis is in his flat. He pulls a tag off one of the new cushions he's bought and puts it on the cream sofa. He pulls another tag off another cushion and arranges them so they're symmetrical with the cushions on the other side. He looks around, then flicks through his record collection. He pulls out a record by Richard Wagner called Lohengrin. He turns it over and on the back is the inscription, "At least give it a try, M." Lewis smiles fondly. Rachel walks around the side of Richard and Martha's cottage. She stops and glances back, then continues. She has a parka jacket on and a cloth rucksack slung over her shoulder. Inside,
Erin had this bean plant. She was supposed to grow it over the holidays and measure it every day. Mum carried on watering it for weeks afterwards. And I just kept thinking, how is this thing still alive? How is it possible that this stupid little plant can keep on living, and yet...
Rachel stops and closes her eyes. Martha reaches out and squeezes her hand.
We both realise how difficult this must be. But do you feel able to let Richard respond?
Rachel nods whilst gazing at the floor. Martha nods and turns to Richard, who frowns gravely and draws a breath.
Rachel, I need you to know that your sister and what I did will stay with me forever. If I could do anything to change what happened...
All you had to do was think, I've had a nice boozy lunch. Maybe I won't get in my car this afternoon. How hard is that?
I know I can't expect forgiveness, but prison has strengthened my faith. And as part of my recovery...
Your recovery?
Rachel's eyes dart wildly between Richard and Martha.
Of course. That's what this is about.
Rachel, please.
Forget it. 3 years out in one. It's a joke.
Rachel rushes out of the house. Richard and Martha look disturbed. Rachel throws her rucksack into the basket of a bike and wheels it out of the drive. Adam's smoking a cigarette nearby. He stubs it out, then puts his arm out to stop Rachel.
You all right, okay?
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Adam hugs Rachel, who starts to sob. He glares in the direction of the Seegers' house. In the Seegers' kitchen...
I know you don't want to hear it, but I think that was brave.
It was selfish.
Richard stands at the sink drinking a glass of water. Martha goes over and hugs him from behind.
Things will get easier, I promise. With God's help.
He puts his hand over hers and eyes the crucifix on the wall. At his flat, Lewis takes a roast chicken out of the oven.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I've got it right.
No, that sounds fine. As long as the juice is run clear, you're okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, then leave it on a hot dish for 20 minutes to relax.
Thanks. Just as long as one of us is relaxed. Well, wish me luck.
Good luck.
Hathaway, who's in the office, hangs up his phone. Lewis opens the front door to Dr. Laura Hobson, who beams at him. She pulls a wry face and points to the tea towel tucked into his jeans as a makeshift penny. He whips out the tea towel and holds it up. Hobson lifts it as she walks through, laughing. Lewis smiles. Night, the Seegers' cottage. The time on a stereo reads 2:25. The kitchen light is switched on, and Richard grabs a set of keys. He switches the light off again and leaves the room. Richard pulls on a jacket. Outside, he makes his way around the cottage to the front. He stands there looking into the darkness, searchingly. He steps forward, surveying the road ahead. He stops. A light comes on from where the old Jaguar is in the garage. He turns around quickly. It's the headlights of the car. The car lurches towards him. He puts his hands up. The screen goes black. Day, the sun shines over the tower of a university building. Outside the Seegers' cottage, Richard's body lies on the road, bloodstains on his head and soaking through his t-shirt. He's under the Jaguar Mark II.
Is
Beautiful place, this, isn't it?
The Seegers' cottage.
What we got?
Deceased is Professor Richard Seeger, biochemist, fellow of Benison College. He was released from prison yesterday after serving a year for causing death by dangerous driving. No signs of a break-in. Body was discovered 2 hours ago by his wife, the Reverend Martha Seeger, crushed under his own car.
They head over to the Jaguar. Hobson is wearing protective overalls and latex gloves. They all frown as they see the corpse.
Bloody hell.
No.
You do read about these freak accidents, don't you?
No, sir. This is not an accident. Car must have accelerated pretty hard to churn up this much gravel.
I can't get to them properly, but the first thing I'm seeing under here is multiple flaying injuries where the wheels have taken the skin away. Suggests he was knocked down and then driven back over several times.
Yeah, all right, all right. You can see it wasn't an accident. Just giving humanity the benefit of the doubt for once.
She left here the first time at around 8, if that's any use.
Inside.
Sorry, who left today?
Rachel Cliff, the girl who killed my husband.
Lewis turns to Hathaway.
Erin Cliff was the young girl involved in the fatal road accident with Professor Seeger.
Rachel was Erin's sister.
And the Jag outside is the same car that killed Erin?
Yes. It was my fault. Rachel and her mother were on their own, and I thought I could help.
What do you mean?
I persuaded her to meet Richard. I honestly thought it would be good. But she left here angrier than ever. She must have taken the keys from the hall and come back.
Can you take us through what happened in between Rachel leaving here and you finding Richard's body this morning?
We had an early night. He was exhausted. Then this morning, when I took him his tea in bed, he wasn't there. I thought he must be pottering in the garden. And then I found him.
She licks the corner of her mouth.
How was your relationship with your husband?
Good. We were happy.
But you didn't realise he wasn't in bed until you took him his cup of tea. So you weren't sleeping in the same room.
Well, prison makes things difficult. He needed some time to adjust, so he slept in the spare room.
And where did you sleep last night?
The main bedroom.
The one on the front of the house with the window open?
That's right.
And you didn't hear anything?
Martha stares.
No, not a thing.
Outside, Lewis and Hathaway look up at the master bedroom of the cottage.
Some people do sleep very deeply.
So deeply they miss a violent murder going on outside their window. How's it looking, Laura?
Like a man under a car at the moment.
I won't be able to judge lividity till we get him out from under there. But there's early rigor mortis in the neck and jaw, so dead maybe 5-6 hours. There's something else, though. Some small scratchings in the bodywork with what seems to be the same colour paint at the end of his keys.
It's a number. 500.
It looks like Seeger wrote that as he was dying. Would that be possible?
Depending on his injuries, it might have been possible.
Why 500?
Look at all these search results for him. He's quite famous for a scientist.
What did he discover?
Well, it seems to be more about his promotion of the idea of intelligent design, that the complexity of the universe is down to the existence of an intelligent creator.
We know what it is, Sergeant.
Sorry. Anyway, Seeger was a leading proponent. He ran a lecture course arguing that God and science aren't mutually exclusive.
Sorry, I missed it. Still, explains why he was married to a vicar. Do you know she was claiming she slept through the whole thing?
You're not convinced?
Not for a minute. How can anybody sleep through that kind of racket?
Well, if you find out, do let me know.
Hobson smirks, then walks off.
What's she mean by that?
I think she's implying you're a snorer, sir.
Val always said it was more of a snuffling. Maybe she was being kind.
Lewis furrows his brow.
It's strange, you know, after all these years.
Good strange.
Yeah. Really good strange.
So you should have ended up with something that looks like this, with the intermolecular hydrogen bonding shown by the dashed lines.
Stella teaches in the science faculty.
So is everyone all right with that? Any problems at all?
Adam's amongst the five or so students.
Adam, do you want to hang on for 10 minutes at the end? Right, let's move on to disulfide linkages and other covalent bonds.
Adam looks tired and unkempt. Lewis and Hathaway go into Porter's tea rooms. Rachel serves a customer.
There you go. You're welcome.
Rachel Cliff?
Yeah?
D.I. Lewis, D.S. Hathaway, Oxfordshire Police. Could we have a word?
What about? I'm my mother.
We understand that you've had dealings with Professor Richard Seeger.
Dealings? I've not heard it called that before. He killed my daughter, if that's what you're getting at.
He was found murdered at home this morning.
The woman, Debbie, smiles.
Oh, there you go. Maybe I'll buy a lottery ticket later.
Mum!
Under the circumstances, we do need to ask you some questions.
Ask away.
In particular, Rachel, we need to speak to you about your contact with the professor last night.
I'm sorry.
You promised me. Promise me you wouldn't go around there. Adam said he wouldn't let you go around
Martha
there.
Martha thought it might help.
Oh, well, if Martha thought.
Rachel, is there somewhere we can talk in private?
Rachel nods and heads out the back. Hathaway follows.
You'd think it'd be enough, wouldn't you, them taking my little girl, but then they had to try and take Rachel too. Phone calls and letters and come to our church, come to our house. And now... now we've got the police round here asking questions.
If you and your daughter would be willing to give us DNA samples and prints down at the station.
Fine. Whatever.
Thanks. It would also be helpful to know where you were in the small hours this morning.
I was reading Heat magazine in the waiting room of A&E. I managed to twist this when I was putting the bins out.
Her ankle.
Excuse me. Lynn? Everything okay? When was this?
It was weird. It was like she was his wife, so I hated her. But it also felt like she understood. Like I could say things to her that I couldn't say to my mum.
So tell me about last night.
I finally realised it was all an act. She was just pretending to be nice so I'd forgive her husband.
She said that you were really upset when you left. Where did you go after?
Went back to my boyfriend's, got trashed.
Where were you during the night?
Still in my boyfriend's room in town. Adam Tibbett, he's a first year at Benison College. We went to school together.
Can anyone else confirm that you were there all night?
Why? What's she been saying?
We just need to establish your whereabouts.
Rachel stares at Hathaway.
She thinks I killed him, doesn't she? Well, you know what? I wish I had.
Rachel marches off. Lewis sits outside Porter's tea rooms. Hathaway comes out and doesn't notice him.
Hang on a minute. Everything all right? I just need a word.
Sounds ominous. That's the thing you say to your suspect.
Yeah, well, I don't usually offer these to my suspects. Come on.
Biscuits. They stroll through cloisters.
My old granny used to pay me in giant chocolate biscuits for mowing her lawn.
Sounds like an excellent trade-off.
Wasn't bad.
They sit down on a bench opposite a grand, sandy-coloured college building.
Stayed with her almost every year. Little bungalow out of Whitley Bay. Do you know when I last saw my grandson? Christmas, for a day and a half. Took him a toy fire engine that he already had.
Take a week off, go up there.
Lewis shakes his head.
Apparently, he's been in hospital the last 3 days. Lynn just phoned me a couple of minutes ago.
Is he all right?
Not in hospital. Back home running riot, according to his mum, but... thing is, she didn't even call me until that whole thing was sorted. Didn't want to worry me. Don't even feel part of my own family anymore.
Students play croquet.
Anyway, that's it now. Been going on about retiring for ages. Time I chucked it in. Put my family first. And Laura, if she'll let me.
I'm sure she will.
Lewis turns to him.
Thing is, when I go, there'll be a DI job come vacant. You should apply for it. Set up a meeting with Innocent. Let her know you're interested.
Yeah, thanks. I don't think I'm...
Oh, come on. You're more than ready.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, it just wouldn't feel right if you went for me to stay.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but You're a bit too young to retire with me. Much as I'd like us to have an allotment and a nice little sailing dinghy together.
Well, I've heard worse plans.
Lewis munches a cookie.
Seriously, though, you're ready to go and do this on your own, so go and do it.
I'll think about it.
Think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you think about it on your way down to the prison? Find out if Seeger had made any enemies while he was inside. I'll see what I can dig up at his college.
Lewis heads off. Hathaway finishes his cigarette at the science faculty.
Now, I'm sorry, but the exams are 2 weeks away, and you're still struggling with basic concepts.
But I'm working as hard as I can. I mean,
why don't we see how these exams go and then talk again, okay? But it might be that you're better suited to another course.
Adam frowns.
At another university.
Adam frowns again more heavily. Lewis is shown into the college quad by a porter. A smartly dressed man of about 60 is talking to a builder.
Dr. Yardley, Detective Inspector Lewis. I need to speak to you about Professor Seeger.
Yes.
I'm afraid I have some bad news.
He's dead, I know. What do you want from me?
Well, I'm told you're the master here, and I was hoping you could give me some information about his academic life, if it's not too much trouble.
No, not at all. Forgive me, I'm a bit, Do you know anything about 17th century roofs?
Not my specialist subject, to be honest.
Nor mine. Turns out they're expensive. Apparently ours is on the verge of collapse.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, how can I help?
Did Professor Seeger have any enemies that you were aware of?
Well, the usual intellectual squabbles, but nothing serious that I can recall.
And what was the plan for after his release? Was he coming back to work?
Well, that was a difficult one. Richard had a brilliant scientific mind, truly brilliant. But with fellowship comes moral responsibilities. We held a ballot, and the majority vote was to revoke his fellowship and promote Stella to his chair of the chemistry role.
Stella?
Dr. Stella Drew, Richard's protege. I think she's the best person you can speak to. Knew him much better than I did.
Any idea where I might find her?
You could try her rooms, old quad, top of J staircase.
Lewis knocks on Dr. Stella Drew's door.
Dr. Drew, D.I. Lewis, Oxfordshire Police.
Hello. Stella's at work. Is this about Richard?
Yes.
And Martha phoned us this morning.
Sorry, you are?
Carl Drew, I'm Stella's husband. That's the last time I let my year nines loose with the iodine. Please, come in.
Carl's taken off his trousers.
So you knew Professor Seeger?
He talked to me and Stella when we were undergrads here. Stella decided to stay on and I was kind of stuck with him.
Not his biggest fan, then?
No, he wasn't that bad, I suppose. Just a little bit, you know, Oxford. If you weren't ridiculously gifted like Stella, you basically were invisible to him.
How well did you know his wife?
Far too well. She's Stella's best friend. One of mine too. So we've been treated to the ongoing saga of their marriage for years.
The saga?
It's been dragging on forever. Richard filed for divorce a couple of years ago. Martha was fighting it, and he never quite moved out. I think she was almost glad when he was sent to prison. At least it meant he wouldn't leave her. Hope Stella knows more about it. Greenway Labs, Science Park. She'll be there too late.
Striding through the cloisters, Lewis talks on his mobile.
James, see what you can find out about a Dr. Stella Drew of Benison College. Now meet me in the Science Park in about an hour.
Can we make it more like three? I've got a bit sidetracked.
Huh? What by?
Stapleton did some digging and came up with years of debate in the scientific press between Seeger and the master of Benison College, Graham Yardley.
I just met him. A bit cagey.
Well, I'm not surprised. He's been waging war on Seeger since the 80s, arguing that his Christian teaching should be banned from universities.
Really? I don't think he got around to telling me that.
Professor Yardley stands at his window watching Lewis cross the courtyard. Yardley reaches down to a bookshelf under the window, picks up an old hardback reference book, and takes out an envelope from between the pages. He goes over to a paper shredder and slides the letter into its jaws. He switches it on. The letter's addressed to Dr. Graham Yardley and has a prison emblem on it. It comes out in thin shreds and falls into the bin with the other scraps. Lewis heads over to Hathaway, who's sitting on a bench.
How's that thinking going? You fix up a meeting with Innocent, yeah?
Nope.
But I managed to get in touch with Seeger's prison officer.
Changing the subject, okay.
Apparently Martha forgot to tell us that he was a raging alcoholic and had been for a decade.
He had a drink problem. Are you sure about that?
Everyone in the prison says the same. He spent his days praying, going to alcohol recovery meetings and talking about how to lead a better life when he got out.
Visitors?
Only Martha the entire year, with the exception of one visit 10 days ago from Adam Tibbett.
Rachel's boyfriend. Interesting. Where are we? Greenaway Labs.
I realised after you called, I've come across Stella Drew before. I heard her interviewed on Woman's Hour a few months ago.
Woman's Hour?
It's an excellent programme. You should download the podcast.
Lewis frowns at him uncertainly.
What does she have to say for herself on Women's Hour?
Well, she's quite impressive. Actually, she made some sort of breakthrough in Alzheimer's research while she was still a postgrad, became a fellow in her early 20s, campaigned for more women in science.
God, one of them.
What, feminist?
No, overachiever. They make me uneasy.
They climb the stairs in the immaculate facility with Stella, who's in her lab coat.
He was my mentor for 15 years. Everything we're doing here is down to him.
It's research into dementia, is that right?
Into Alzheimer's, yes. My particular research stems from my doctoral work on the amyloid hypothesis. The question of whether amyloid fibril formation is a cause of neurodegeneration or if another protein such as... Sorry, I lost your hypothesis, didn't I?
You might have. Never mind.
Well, so let's get to the point. Carl called. He thinks he put his foot in it about Richard divorcing Martha. And now you want to know whether or not my friend killed her husband.
We wouldn't have put it quite like that.
Presumably it's one of your hypotheses. I can tell you that she isn't capable of it. I've asked her to stay with us until she's ready to go back home, and I wouldn't have done that if I thought she was a risk to anyone. Surely you should be speaking to the family of the little girl from the accident.
We have to keep an open mind for the moment. You run Professor Seeger's research team now, is that right?
Yes.
And you were promoted to his chair of chemistry.
Her eyes widen.
Only thing I stood to gain from his death.
Just establishing the fact.
That's fair enough. Well, the facts are that, yes, I have now taken over his positions, but that happened while he was in prison. And when there was a bit of controversy about whether or not he should be allowed to stay on at the college, I voted in his favour.
Any way we can confirm that?
The Master Secretary should be able to show you the ballots. It wasn't anonymous.
Fine. Thank you.
Lewis notices that the phone extension to her lab is number 5001.
Does the number 500 mean anything to you? A measurement, perhaps, or a reference to a chemical?
500? No. Well, not particularly. Why?
Just part of our investigation. Could you keep it in mind? Let us know if anything occurs to you.
Of course.
Lewis and Hathaway leave Stella at her computer.
Surely if Seeger wanted to point us towards somebody in the chemistry department, he'd have written their name, not just their extension number.
There could be a connection. If all the phones begin with extension 500, then there might be a voicemail on one of them. I could ask the university to grant me access.
Are you proposing phone hacking, Sergeant?
It's not phone hacking, if you ask nicely.
From the degree of hypostasis and the decreased fluid pressure behind the eyes, I put time of death at 2 or 3 a.m. What?
Nothing. Carry on.
The contusions, multiple fractures, and tire impression are all consistent with...
I'm sorry, I'm not smiling. Oh, God, sorry. It's all a bit odd now, isn't it? You and me and...
The corpse.
Oh, I don't know, some of our best times together have involved a mangled corpse.
Yeah, that's just my point. It's not normal, surely.
We do have to work together, Robbie. I hope this isn't going to be a problem.
Well, I have been having a think. You know, I'm always banging on about retiring.
Another pathologist in scrubs walks past them.
What do you say if I just did it?
I'd say about bloody time.
Would you? Really? I mean, you'd be all right about being with a pensioner.
That pensioner have my dinner on the table when I get home and rub my back for me till I can retire too?
I'm sure he would.
Then I'd love it.
They embrace. Lewis leans down to kiss Hobson, and just as their lips meet, they hear a noise and turn. They pull apart as the other pathologist heads past. Hobson busies herself with pulling some tissue from a dispenser, and Lewis smiles awkwardly. When the other pathologist has gone, they smirk at each other. Lewis and Hathaway stride towards Benison College Chapel, which has scaffolding up around it. They go in. They go through a wood-panelled archway and along the marbled floor of the aisle. Martha plays the organ.
Reverend! Martha!
Hello?
She looks down.
Oh!
Could we have a chat?
She eyes them anxiously, then gets up and shuffles down the stairs. She's wearing her dog collar and black robes with a beige jacket over the top. She hurries over to them.
Is there any news?
Why are you lying to us?
She glances from one to the other.
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Why didn't you tell us that your husband was an alcoholic?
Because he was in recovery.
And that he'd asked you for a divorce.
I didn't say anything because it was all in the past. Richard filed the petition before he went to prison. But only because he wanted to protect me from his drinking. He did it because he loved me.
Had he withdrawn the divorce petition?
No. But he would have done, I'm certain.
If there's anything else you haven't told us, Martha, we really do need to know.
There's nothing.
Must have been difficult to stick by him through the alcoholism, through the accident, through prison. And at the end of all that, to find that he's still filing for divorce.
She frowns angrily.
What are you saying?
Did he reject you?
Lewis steps forward. Martha holds his gaze.
Did you snap?
Martha's face creases and she starts to cry. She shakes her head.
I went to his room and tried to comfort him. He pushed me away. He always said he was leaving because of the drink, no other reason. So when he was released and he was doing so well, I thought I was getting my husband back. But then last night he told me I wasn't. He said the drinking wasn't just about work. It was about me.
Fighting back tears, she hangs her head.
I went upstairs and I lay in our bed on my own until I went to sleep. I didn't hurt him.
Her eyes shining with tears, she shakes her head, then looks down at the floor again. Lewis regards her. Lewis and Hathaway come out of the chapel.
I didn't expect to be saying this, but I think I believe her.
You're just a sucker for a dog collar.
That's true, but if she did snap, why would she use the car? It's a bit elaborate.
Well, maybe she was driving away and he was trying to stop her. Look, I need to check on her getting on down at the station. Why don't you try and track down this Adam Tibbet? See if he admits to visiting Seeger in the prison.
Lewis heads off and Hathaway goes in the other direction. In Adam's room in the college, Hathaway inspects a wall of photos and kids' drawings.
Cheers. Good little artist, wasn't she?
Erin. Yeah, she was brilliant. I gave her a paint set for her 8th birthday and then the pictures just kept on coming.
Adam's made Hathaway a hot drink. They sit.
So, tell me what you can about Professor Seeger. Did you know him before the accident?
Well, I met him once for my interview. And the strange thing was I actually liked him. Time.
Did you see him again after?
Not at college, no. He was already in prison by the time I came up. But then he started writing these letters to Rachel, and it was getting creepy. Like every week going on, wanted to meet up as soon as he got out of prison. So I went to see him, asked him to leave her alone.
And what did he say?
Oh, he promised he'd stop. But by this point, it was too late. Martha had already gotten into her head and persuaded her it was a good idea.
So did you go with Rachel when she went to see Seeger last night?
Yeah, I waited outside.
What did you do after?
We came back here. Hasn't Rachel already told you all this?
I need to confirm these things with you. Where were you between the hours of 2 and 3 a.m.?
Adam frowns.
Why are you asking me that?
I'm not accusing you of anything.
Well, I was asleep right there with Rachel. Look, I've got my exams in less than 2 weeks and I'm really behind my revision, so...
Adam stands and gestures for Hathaway to leave. Hathaway takes a swig of his drink.
Good luck with that. I'll try not to disturb you again.
Adam glances down nervously under Hathaway's cold gaze. Hathaway heads out. Once Hathaway's gone, Adam sags slightly. In the chapel, Martha wrings her hands and hurries towards the altar with a large brass cross on it. She kneels on a cushion and starts to pray. She bows her head and talks silently to herself. Her brow is pinched in a pained expression and she shakes her head. She looks up at the cross, her hands clasped together. She removes her wedding ring from her left hand. In his room, Adam draws his curtains closed. He sits down at his desk and cigarette smoke wafts up around his head. He picks up a lit cigarette from an ashtray on his desk. He taps the butt, flicking the ash into the ashtray. He eyes his left forearm, exposing the white skin of the underside, and presses the lit cigarette into it. He leans back and his eyes roll up in relief. At his desk looking at photos of the crime scene.
Robbie, what's this from HR about your pension forecast?
I was going to talk to you about that once I was certain.
You're going?
Well, I'm giving it some serious thought.
Something happened I should know about?
Old age. It happened when I wasn't looking. Well, probably when I was sitting here trying to figure out stuff like this.
Don't be so bloody maudlin. You love it, really.
I love my kids. I love my grandson. I quite like Laura. But it'd be nice to spend some time with them.
Well, then I'm glad you're thinking about it. That's not the same as believing for a second you'll actually go through with it. But it's reassuring to know that one of us looks forward to going home at night.
Lewis looks away uncomfortably.
So, how's the current puzzle looking?
Well, house to house didn't come up with anything, and Seeger's place is too remote for CCTV to be much use.
Well, maybe Hathaway's solved it and you can get off early.
Alas, not mum, but the phone company got back to me. Seeger took a 30-second call from a pay-as-you-go mobile at 2:20 this morning. They can't trace the pay-as-you-go, but they can say that it was only ever used to make that one call.
So the killer called Seeger to lure him onto the driveway. And it was someone he'd agreed to see in the middle of the night. An affair?
What I was thinking. When was this? Screenshot from the John Radcliffe. Shows that Debbie was in A&E all night.
Well, that's good. Just as useful to know who it isn't. What about this 500, the thing he scratched into the paintwork?
8 phones in the lab, all have extensions beginning 500. None of the messages left on them seem significant.
Nothing more concrete?
Not yet. I've got 2 teams going through his papers, his computers, but so far nothing.
There must be something else. Come on, Cambridge. You'll start it for 10. Find out what it means.
Innocent walks off.
Do you fancy a pint?
Yeah, well, usually. It's just Laura's...
No, don't worry about it. We'll do it another night.
You know what, though? Mom? James wants a word, if you've got a minute.
Innocent stops at the top of the stairs and nods. Hathaway strolls back past Lewis. As he ascends the stairs, he turns back and looks at Lewis pointedly, then continues. Adam studies in his college room. He takes off his specs and gets up to answer the door. He opens it, and Rachel steps in and gives him a big hug. At Lewis's flat, there are 2 empty plates on the table. He and Hobson sit on the sofa together drinking red wine. They both laugh at the TV. Hobson puts down her glass, leans back, and snuggles into his shoulder. He wraps his arm around her and then smiles gently. Day, the Spires of Oxford. Hathaway's in the incident room.
Early start. Someone's trying to impress.
Yeah, thanks for that last night.
How'd it go?
It didn't. If it's all right with you, I'll decide when I go for promotion, if I go for promotion.
OK. Message understood.
Yardley's secretary got back to me with the results of the fellows' ballot, said it was telling the truth. She did vote for Seeger to stay on.
All right. So she wasn't after his job.
Yeah, but the weird thing is Yardley also voted the same way. Now, if he objected to Seeger's beliefs that much, you would have thought he'd take the opportunity to get rid of him.
Robbie.
Hobson.
Hello. Did I forget something?
No, but the lab have just called. They've got the first DNA results from the car.
Oh, anything helpful?
Well, there are dozens of DNA profiles in there. His wife, his colleagues, and some that we can't identify. But one of the hairs taken from the driver's headrest had some follicle matter attached. And the DNA from that follicle is an exact match for Rachel Cliff.
At the tea rooms, Debbie limps along with breakfast for a customer.
Morning.
Lewis and Hathaway enter. She delivers the breakfast.
Your pancakes are on their way, promise.
We're hoping for another chat with Rachel if she's around.
Oh, does it look like she's around?
Any idea where we might find her? It's actually quite urgent.
She's 18. I don't keep tabs on her.
Should we try her boyfriend, perhaps?
You can try wherever you like. She's not going to say anything she hasn't already said.
Okay, thank you.
Debbie watches them leave, then gets out her mobile phone and dials. She peers anxiously out of the shop front. At the large wooden arched entrance to Benison College, Yardley heads in and bumps into a couple of builders on their way out. The builders step back to let him through. He stops and stares at something, then carries on. In Stella and Carl's quarters at Benison College, Martha adjusts her dog collar in the mirror. Stella watches her. Carl steps in and leans on the doorframe. In Adam's room...
This is important. Are you absolutely sure you've never been inside Professor Seeger's car?
No, I told you. Why would I want to go anywhere near that thing?
In that case, we'd like you to come down to the station with us and answer some questions on the tape.
What?
Are you arresting her? You can't arrest her.
Not arresting, no, but we do need your help with our investigation.
I haven't done anything.
And in the long run, it would be better for everybody if you do that voluntarily.
Rachel stands, then sits down again.
Are the police in there with you?
There's no problem, they just needed to check something.
Sorry to interrupt, but the master's asking if you can pop down to the main quad.
Thanks. Tell him we'll be there in a few minutes.
He says it's urgent.
Lewis and Hathaway glance at each other. They head off.
Don't go anywhere.
They leave and Adam shuts the door forcefully. Adam picks up a mobile phone.
Call her. Now.
He gives Rachel the phone. Lewis and Hathaway march across the courtyard. The porter hangs back.
It would appear we have a situation with our roof.
What kind of situation?
I think it's best you take a look, but your discretion would be appreciated. It's delicate. This gentleman will show you.
This way, gents, if you would.
A construction worker leads them through a corridor and out into a quad. They head for the chapel, which has scaffolding up on the outside. Inside the chapel, a large stained glass window depicting Christ on the cross. Martha conducts the choir. The construction worker leads Lewis and Hathaway up a ladder on the scaffolding.
Yeah, then.
Lewis and Hathaway head up the next ladder. Inside, Martha waves her hands elegantly. People are sat on some pews watching the choir. Stella and Carl are amongst the attendees. Up in the roof...
Just through here. Mind just step.
They make their way through the roof with torches. A beam of light flashes over a statue with a beard and a crown. There are several builders with them now. One leads them to the end of the attic space. Lewis leans down to study something.
Good God.
It's a human skeleton.
How long has this been up here?
Hathaway crouches down to take a closer look. The skeleton looks like it's wearing the ragged remains of a dress. He shines his torch around and catches sight of a chest that's covered in dusty old pieces of paper. His torchlight illuminates a suitcase with a paper tag on it. He steps over and reads the label, which has Asian characters and the name Su Min Chong.
Sir. Maybe it wasn't a number that Seeger was scratching into his car.
Lewis comes over to join Hathaway and he inspects the label. The word Sue, spelt S-O-O, looks like the number 500.
There's a name.
Next time.
Multiple fractures, including the skull.
She was an exchange student from South Korea.
It's me. Call me as soon as you get this.
Look, tell me what they said.
Are you saying the Reverend Seeger's been pulling your hair, eh?
I don't want to hear sob stories. I want to know what happened that night.
What has the fact that I went out with Su Ming 15 years ago got to do with Seeger?
I should never have left her in that house on her own.
Seeger's blood is on Su Ming's suitcase.
Under the handle.
I knew there had to be a connection.
ITFC audio description.